Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It's the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome to another week. This week's guest is Jordan Gross. Jordan comes to us from New York City. He is the owner of a company called Cloud9 Living. And we're just going to get into it because for me to explain what Jordan does will never do a great service. So Jordan, welcome to the show and welcome to the West Coast.
Hey, what's up, Ben? How are you?
I'm doing great.
It's so great to finally be chatting. I know we connected a couple times, but this is really exciting to be on this show and share my story and share Cloud9's story. And hey, maybe we'll even get a little bit of your story as well.
You know, that's always a good thing to do. You know, it's interesting. I bet you like I meet most of the people that are on my show is through LinkedIn because that's where the interesting people are.
Yeah, you know, I love
it. No offense to Facebook, no offense to Twitter, Snapchat, whatever. But the business audience, the people that are the idea makers, the people that are creating the really good content, that are adding value and shaping the needle, not just creating the needle, but shaping it.
That's right.
Are on LinkedIn, you know, and you and I met through a series of conversations. I went, okay, I've got to pick up a phone and I've got to talk to this guy. And you and I had a great conversation.
Yeah.
And what I want people to find out is Cloud9 Living, you know, the name itself brings certain ideas to the forefront, but I'm going to let you tell your story because that's what this is all about. So tell me where Cloud9 came from and what is the genesis of this movement?
Yeah, so Cloud9 actually came from this amazing sequence of events. It was the perfect alignment of the stars in November of 2018. And it was a normal Sunday. It was football Sunday. So I live in New York City. So I was downtown at a buddy's apartment. And we're doing typical guy stuff, yelling at the TV when our fantasy teams weren't doing well, slow roasting a pork shoulder, talking about, you know, things that weren't so important. But what made this Sunday actually a little bit different was that one of our acquaintances from high school had passed away. And we started to bring it up toward the end of the day, and our conversations went from nonsensical guy stuff to life and love and death and meaning and purpose. And it was like very introspective in a way that we'd never really chatted before. So as I'm going home that night, I'm driving in an Uber on the FDR in New York City, and I see out in the East River a boat. And the boat, the only thing I could see in letters on the boat was its name. And the name of the boat was Cloud9. So I said to the Uber driver, because I'm somebody who I always like to, you know, the Uber driver, the cashier, the waiter, the waitress, I always like to spark conversation. And I said, what does Cloud9 mean to you? And he started to light up at the story of him having a family, him getting married, him moving to America, him making enough money to go back to his home country, right? He talked about a time when he was a kid that he just remembers feeling on top of the world. And as I'm listening to his stories, I started to think about my own. I'm thinking, wow, I've had these Cloud9 moments as well. I've had these Cloud9 experiences of just uninterrupted joy. And I'm sure there are other people out there who've had them too. So I started asking people, hundreds of people around the world, from very high performers, billionaires, to, you know, dancers and teachers and people in my own life, my family members, my 90-year-old grandma. What does Cloud9 mean to you? And how are you living your version of a Cloud9 life? And as I hear all these stories, I started to realize that Cloud9, the journey to Cloud9, which is the name of the book that'll be coming out, is actually what I'm doing right now. My life has been characterized by moves in which I was making a change, but never went all in. And then I'd make a change and I wouldn't go all in. I'd always have some sort of safety net behind me. But now, just 2 years ago, I decided to quit my job in the corporate world. And I wrote my first book, and now I help people for a living. And that was my Cloud Nine moment. It was that one big change where I made the leap. My one word, my personal brand, is being a trailblazer. So I blazed a new trail for myself, and now that's what I do for other people, is I'm trying to help them live their Cloud Nine lives by blazing this new trail on their own, where they can make this one change in their lives and ultimately, you know, have the domino effect occur and everything else changes as well.
And that's interesting, because most people don't realize when those pivotal moments happen in their lives.
That's right.
You realize that maybe 5 years later, maybe 10 years later, maybe at the end of your life, you can look back and you can pivot and you can sit there and say, that was the pivotal moment that changed my life. But yeah, when we're going through it, when we're making that messy change, because normally it is a messy change.
That's right. That's right.
We don't realize how good, you know, things really are, and we don't have the appreciation of the change that's really happening in our lives, because when you're going through that change, there's a lot of things that are happening in your life. You know, whether it's going from being an employee to being an entrepreneur, whether it's going from this mindset to another mindset, people have to sit there and be able to stop and be in the moment and realize, wait a second here, I'm making a conscious change, a conscious choice to go left instead of right.
Right. That's exactly right.
My question is, how do you get people to appreciate that? Because so many people are so caught up with day-to-day minutiae that goes on for most of us, I mean, myself included, that we don't step back and sit there and say, that was a really cool day.
Oh, yeah. So let me tell you two stories here. Number one, one of my favorite things that's ever happened to me in my life, and it's because it was this chance encounter, this coincidence that occurred as I was writing The Journey to Cloud Nine, that it just shouldn't have happened because I never do this. So I looked up the word ecstasy online, because feeling like you're on cloud nine, it's this feeling of euphoria, this feeling of ecstasy.
Yeah. And once you got past the drug references.
Exactly. Once I got past all the drugs, I saw that the word ecstasy comes from the root word ecstasis. And what ecstasis means is to literally take a step to the side of, or to step outside of oneself. So in thinking about what Cloud Nine means and how to better appreciate Cloud Nine moments, you legitimately have to be in this state of ecstasy. You need to take a step outside of yourself. And in the book, it's a fictional book. So you actually, what I do is I put you in the clouds, right? And it's like you put yourself into the clouds and you look down at your life from this third party perspective and you say, wow, you know what? That was a pretty good moment, or that was a pretty good day, or that's a pretty cloud nine life that I'm living, right? So I say it's one of my favorite coincidences. It's because never in my life have I looked up the root of a word before.
Right.
And then this one word that I looked up and I found that the root of it had this meaning. It was this crazy scenario that's now like, that's how you better appreciate your cloud nine moments. It's by every single day having the sense of self-awareness to put yourself into the clouds, look down at whoever you are and say, wow, like I had a cloud nine day. I could do this to have a better day. Here's what I need to have a cloud nine day tomorrow. And just have that sense of self-awareness. Story number two is really how I was able to understand how I can create a sense of my own epiphanies or cloud nine moments. And it comes from listening to a ton of podcasts. So I've immersed myself in this self-help and personal development world. And I hear all these stories all the time about, you know, it was this scenario where I finally realized I had to make a change, or it was this sickness where I realized I had to make a change, or this accident where I realized I had to make a change. And here I am saying, oh my goodness, why would I ever wait for that? You know? And I was listening to one of my mentors, Hal Elrod. He wrote The Miracle Morning.
Right.
And this guy has been through a lot, man. He has literally died. He has had cancer. He has been fully broke. He was a troubled kid growing up. He was in detention all the time. And as I'm listening to Hal's story, a close mentor and friend of mine right now, I just kind of said to myself, why would I ever wait for the perfect or imperfect alignment of the stars to take control of my life and start doing what I want and start appreciating what I currently have? So it's funny, but I always say that my aha moment was listening to Hal and realizing that I don't need an aha moment to have these aha moments, right? How back and forth and circular is that? But that's what it really is. It's that in every single scenario in your life, you have the opportunity to evaluate it and realize that it's so much more meaningful than it is at the surface.
That's interesting. I want to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that life happens. Mm. And it's going to continue to happen. And there is there is no perfect moment for everything. There is no perfect in our world. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is a continuum. Things are going to get better. They're going to get worse. We're going to be richer. We're going to be poorer. Our health is going to be better. Our health is going to be worse. There's no perfect time to start a business. I started Your Brand Marketing in January 2008. If there was a worse time to start a company, I can't think what it was. But it was the right time in my head.
That's right.
And we all need to sit there and say, okay, if we're going to make a change, there's never going to be a perfect time to make that change. If we want to lose weight, if we want to start a new business, if we want to bring on a new employee, we just need to do it. And have a plan and stick by that plan. And if that plan isn't working, evaluate why the plan isn't working and pivot and move forward. But we need to sit there and have the ability to take a chance. And I love that about you. That's what you seem to, correct me if what I'm saying is, we need all to make choices in our life to take chances for our own betterment.
It's absolutely right. And it's about knowing yourself. Just like you said, Ben, it was the best time for you in your life. And it's about calculating that risk. Like, I'm a very risk-seeking person. So I was okay with quitting my job and not having something to do next. But if you're very risk-averse, make a more calculated, exit from your job if that's what you're going to do. And you mentioned two things there. One is you mentioned this phrase of, life is going to happen to us, right? So you know the phrase, like, everything happens for a reason. I don't fully believe in that. I think that everything happens and then it's up to us to assign a reason to it, right? So this comes back to storytelling and how we assign the stories to whatever happens within our lives. So that's what I believe is so important in every single scenario. It's like, okay, this happened, 2008 occurred and, maybe here I am, like, what do I do? But I can view this now as an opportunity. This is when I'm going to start a business. And that's the story that you decided to tell.
Yeah. And my view on life, and this is a story I love to tell all the time, is glasses are neither half full or half empty. They're refillable.
Mm.
And if you look at life as a refillable glass, even if you spill a little bit, even if you go backwards 3 steps, even if you go back 10 steps, it doesn't define who you're going to be moving forward.
That's right.
We're all going to stumble. We're all going to have things in our lives that are going to reach out and give us a smack upside the back of the head. It's how we react.
Yeah.
And it's how we take the lessons learned from those events that happen in our lives and become better. Because everybody has that capability of either saying, oh my God, I've got cancer. I'm going to crawl into a corner and I'm going to eat nachos the rest of my life and just watch television. Or they're going to sit there and say, okay, I've got cancer. What can I do? What can we do to move forward from this point? And what can I do to make my life the best life that I can?
Right.
That's the difference between the optimist and the pessimist. Mm-hmm. And the person that's going to succeed and the person who's going to sit there and wallow in their own life.
That's right.
My question to you is, as you were building the journey to Cloud9, as you were interviewing people, what was the biggest insights you were getting from people? Was there recurring themes that were coming up?
Absolutely. And before I get there, just the one last thing on the optimist versus the pessimist. It's like, in my mind, even if the optimist doesn't make it through, say, right? At least that person will have done everything possible to have tried. and given the best opportunity to make it through. Whereas the pessimist won't even have given it a shot, right? So that's like how I'd want to end that, is just that being an optimist gives you the opportunity no matter what the end result is at the end of the day. But anyway, yeah, so the themes that have come up have really been every single story has touched on one of these principles. And it's shocking because you'd think that I would get different types of stories, and I do. I get all different types of stories from people around the world who are, some are, you know, the highest performers, billionaires and startup founders and things like, and best-selling authors. But then I talk to my mom and dad, who are just normal people. I talk to my friends, normal people. And here are the themes. You ready?
I'm ready.
There are 7 key themes that have come up. And then there's an 8th theme that is sort of bringing it all together. And then there's a 9th theme that allows you to start making a change in your life moving forward once you've realized that you can make Cloud9 moments every day. So at the end of the day, we have 9 themes for our Cloud9 journey. So the first one is playfulness. The second one is camaraderie. The third one is love. The fourth one is responsibility. The fifth one is accomplishment. The 6th one is benevolence. And the 7th is calling. Once you've had those 7 themes, the other stories that I hear is that anytime this happens, right, you have this Cloud9 moment, there has to be the realization of the moment. So that's like the reflection piece we talked about before. And then finally, once you've had that realization of what your Cloud9 life is supposed to look like, then it's your opportunity for a resurgence. So if you haven't been living your Cloud9 life, you can sort of redefine the way that you're going to live and then live according to it based off of everything that you've uncovered.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at those as key factors in leadership as well. You know, the work that I do is all about, you know, trying to make better leaders within organizations and be able to use internal communication to engage, retain, and grow employees. And I look at those 9 principles, and I sit there and say, you know what? This is about being human.
Yeah.
These are all human qualities. And the more we can be human, both with ourselves and with the people around us, the more inspired and the more inspiring we can be.
That's right.
You know, and I think that there's a lot to be learned from that. You know, and we'll make sure that, you know, we put all this into the show notes, is that the people need to realize that the world that we live in is full of human beings. Right. And each one of us has things that we all have goals, we all have aspirations, we all have, you know, things that we really want in life. And the more we can help the people around us, first of all, understand their big, hairy, audacious goal and help them live it.
Yeah.
The better the world is going to be. I mean, it's not just living your own Cloud9 moment. It's helping others to live their moment as well.
I think
that's the world that I want to live in. And that's the world that I see is not only being inspired and living an inspired life, but helping others to feel inspired as well.
Oh, 100%.
I can't wait till the book comes out so I can dive into this.
And you said it best, you know, and just with the whole metaphor of the book basically takes you on a plane through the clouds. And it's like you want to be somebody else's co-pilot, right? You want to co-pilot them throughout their journeys. And you want to basically, you want to change the world, right? But you can't change the entire world all at once. So if you change one person's world, you change another person's world, little by little, you're changing all these people's worlds. And then ultimately, the whole world changes.
Yeah. So that's I look at little pebbles in the water.
Yeah.
They all create ripples. Mm-hmm. The more ripples we can create, the bigger waves we can get.
Right.
You know, I can't solve the world's problems. Mm-hmm. I can't. You know, I'm not president of the United States. I'm not head of the UN. You know, I'm not Richard Branson, whoever. You know, I don't have that kind of reach and I don't have that kind of influence. But what I can do is I can influence the people around me and I can help those people influence the people around them.
Yes.
And if we can do that, we can start a wonderful chain reaction.
Of course.
So let's get into something I thought was really interesting. You've done a TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the experience. Tell me, first of all, what was the TED Talk on? What brought you to a point where it says, I have to do a TED Talk?
Yeah.
And what was the experience like? And what, you know, where is the journey taking you?
So doing a TED Talk was...
Sorry, first of all, was it a TED Talk or a TEDx?
It was a TEDx. TEDx. At Clinton Middle School. And even to start before that, so I was able to get a TED Talk as somebody who was just starting up without a following, without really anything except my first book that I wrote, which was called Getting Comfy, Your Morning Guide to Daily Happiness, which was a self-help book about morning routines.
And how old were you when you wrote that book?
22.
Okay, so you were fairly young when you wrote a book. I didn't write a book till I was 48.
Yeah. So, which is still young, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. So, yeah, I was 22. It came out when I was 23, and then I just turned 25 last week. So I'll have the second book out when I'm 25. But anyway, I gave the TED Talk when I was 24 because it was last April, and the way that I was able to get a TED Talk with really nothing to my name was through relationship building. And for everybody out there who's listening who thinks, oh, I can't give a TED Talk, I don't know anybody, or I don't have a following, or I don't have a platform, it's totally possible if you have the ability to make an impact to one person and a group of people. So the way that I got my talk was by reaching out to a number of organizers, TEDx organizers and hosts, and by figuring out a way that I could add value to them and what they were doing. So it ultimately ended up that I spoke at a middle school. It was TEDx Clinton Middle School. I spoke to a lovely woman named Sarah who set up the event. And I basically told Sarah that middle school students are under so much pressure, even at that young age. My message was all about how to overcome that stress and anxiety right when the alarm clock goes off in the morning. So with that, I was invited to give that talk. I went up to upstate New York in Clinton, New York, and it was a really cool TED event because it was adult speaker and then middle school speaker and then adult speaker and then middle school speaker. So it was just very refreshing to hear that their messages were all the same. It was just that the way we packed them up and delivered them were a little bit different. But, you know, we learn the same things when we're 10 as we do when we're 30, right? It's just a matter of how we're going to best internalize them and utilize them in our lives that really, you know, shape the way that we live. So anyway, my TEDx was called Getting Comfy with the Uncomfy. And like I said, it was my morning routine of how to beat that alarm clock and beat that stress and anxiety. But it was also about how to get comfy in your own skin. It was also about how to then deliberately get outside your comfort zone, because that's always important for growth. And then the actual five-step acronym approach of how I feel a little bit more confident in situations where I'm outside of my comfort zone.
And I think that that's the most important thing, you know, beyond what you spoke about, is that you found a need. They needed you, that, you know, you had a message that spoke to their audience. You were able to provide them something that was valuable, not only to them as organizers, but to the audience that they were trying to serve.
Exactly. And that's the most important people.
That's huge. It's enormous, because too many people sit there and say, I've got speech X. You know, I speak a lot. I speak all over the place. And people say, well, what do you speak on? I say, well, here's the general themes that I speak on. How can I make that speech personalized to your audience?
Yes.
You know, that's to me I have certain stories that I tell, I have certain themes that I talk about, certain ideas that I talk about. But I'll tell you, if you listen to me speak 10 different cities to 10 different audiences, you may not recognize it as the same speech, because I do everything I can to, first of all, make the audience, you know, feel that they're getting something of value to them, but also make the organizer, make them feel that they're the number one special people, and I'm making them look like heroes. So that's what you did. You found a set of ways, how can I make these organizers of this TEDx look like heroes and add value to their audience and do that? And I think that's a really good lesson for anybody. It's not about you. It's about the people you serve.
Right.
And I think that that's a lesson for life.
It really is. It really is.
You know, I think that that's a huge lesson. And, you know, I'm sure it's a huge part of Cloud Nine living. It's that servant, you know, lifestyle. It says it's not all about me. It's not look at me. Look how pretty I am. Look at the clothes I'm wearing. It's how can I make this world a better place?
That's it. Yeah. One of my favorite books is The Go-Giver, which is a short business parable about how giving is so important in business, in life, and in receiving even. And yeah, it's like when you're giving, you're truly living. When you're taking, it's sort of like you're just surviving. So yeah, that's what it's all about. It's all about how are we going to most add value to the world. And that's one of my, you know, I say that I try to help people with their life statements. One of mine is I add value to others without expecting anything in return even. So it definitely resonates there.
So I don't know how to say this, be condescending. You're 25 years old and you're living your Cloud Nine life. Yeah. You're not even a quarter of the way through. You know, I just said the joke my wife told me on my 50th birthday the other day was the fact that now I'm on the backside. I go, yeah, but I got another 50 years to go.
Exactly. Yeah, so you do.
My question to you is, how do you keep inspired with the Cloud Nine life? How do you keep setting those goals?
Yeah.
To just say, okay, what's next? Where you're not always reaching for that brass ring, where you can appreciate when you actually do reach that brass ring, celebrate it, celebrate your accomplishment, and then sit there and say, okay, I've crossed this bridge, I climbed this mountain, I accomplished this goal. That was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate this. Okay, now what's next? How do you put that within yourself, and how do you teach that to your clients?
Yeah, so I learned this. Actually, I'll tell you a little story. It was probably the first time in about 15 years that I lashed out. I like impulsively yelled or cursed at somebody. It was a cab driver in New York City. And I'm a very mild-mannered guy, very even keel. But I was walking across the street, and I just got honked. And I had the walk sign, so I was clearly in the right. But the guy was honking at me, and I cursed, and I just stood there until I couldn't stand there anymore. And as he's honking at me, I walked past, and I just, you know, walked to the grocery store wherever I was going. And I said, whoa, why did I do that? You know, like, what's wrong? What's going on here? Maybe he was going because he was in a rush, or maybe there was an emergency, right? And I started feeling really bad about why I had just lashed out when I hadn't in such a long time. So I decided to ask one of my mentors about this. His name is Jeff Hoffman. He founded Priceline.com. And we had a conversation about being patient. And for me, I'm kind of at this stage in the game where I'm helping a lot of people and I really believe in what I'm doing. And I want to be this household name with Cloud Nine Living and the books that I write and the teachings that I make, but I'm not there yet. But I'm on my way. But I have to be patient. I have to be patient. I said to Jeff, I said, how do I break the threshold from like sort of making an impact and doing some really good stuff to really making an impact, like being a Jeff Hoffman or something like that? And he said to me, have you written down your ultimate goal? I said, yeah, of course. And he said, have you written down what you're going to do the day before your ultimate goal? I said, the day before my ultimate goal? What do you mean? And he said, have you written down what you're going to do the month before your ultimate goal? I said, the month before? What do you mean? He said, how about the year before? How about the year before that? How about the year and 5 months before that? And he's telling me this, and he says, when I set my goals and I started Priceline.com or I started my record label, I literally projected 5-10 years into the future. I envisioned who I was going to be at that time in my life. And then I worked my way backwards.
Yeah.
Reverse engineering your goals. But he was telling me it in a creative way. And I started to think, like, this is a great way to remain patient because I'm going to have so many opportunities, just like you said, Ben, to celebrate where I'm at along the way by setting these micro goals, moving toward the ultimate goal at the end of the day. So that was just a really great way for me to say, like, okay, it's all about being patient, playing the long game, and having this set plan, again, like you mentioned before, working that plan and then seeing, you know, if maybe I don't hit that plan on a certain day, how do I change things up a little bit? But right now I'm working toward the plan and it's going pretty well. And I can just do all I can do every single day, be reflective of that day at the end of my day, and ultimately try to change things around the next day so that I'm doing a little bit better than I was before.
Micro goals on your way to goals. Yeah, I love it.
That's simple. Yeah.
So let me ask you one last question and I'm going to let you go. And there's a question I ask everybody as they walk out the door.
Yeah.
When you leave a meeting or you get off a stage or, you know, you leave somebody for whatever reason, when you get in your car and you drive away or your Uber, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
That Jordan Gross, man. He is just a nice, authentic human being. That's all I want in life. It's that simple. I really, if that's what people say about me when I'm not there, then I'm okay with that.
You know what? I'd love to have that on my tombstone. That sounds like a wonderful thing to have. Jordan, yeah, thank you very much for a great talk. Loved having you on the show. Thanks for the inspiration and thanks for being a great guest.
Thank you, Ben. This was a lot of fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.com and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level, contact us for a free 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you for listening and sharing. And tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?